This thing going here this morning. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the WPTF Weekend Gardener. Mike Raley here, along with former Attorney General and Secretary of State of North Carolina and Deputy Chief Counsel on the Senate Watergate Committee, Rufus Edmiston, returned fresh this morning, fresh as all get out from the inaugural
activity.
In fact, you're sitting here in your tuxedo. You just
Didn't
get any sleep, did you?
Pretty one.
And Phil Campbell was nice enough to come out here.
Oh, it's great out here this morning. I'm just glad to be here. It's beautiful.
It was, you know, it was last week too, but the pollen was awful last week.
Yeah, it was. Clouds and clouds.
You really can still
see it a little bit.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's still not great. I don't know if we've even reached the peak yet or not. But
they're saying we're going into May this year with it.
So. Zach Manor is with us from the city of Raleigh. And Zach, can you hear us okay and everything? I want to make sure your microphone.
I can.
All right.
Everybody hear me well?
Big guy, we brought out our we always try to have a bouncer here, some security, and Zach is it this morning. So we're glad to have you. But you're a tree man, huh?
Yes, sir. I'm the urban forester for the city of Raleigh.
Your background is in horticulture or forestry?
Arboriculture and forestry, yes. So
arboriculture. Oh, that's a new one on me. Yeah.
Please tell us what that. We need to be interested.
Tree culture. So arbor as in tree. Right. So similar to horticulture, just the taller plants.
Yeah. Well, that makes sense to you. Only tall people are arboriculturists.
It's easier to reach, right?
Right.
That's right.
So why are you here?
Well, I'm here today to talk about Raleigh's Tree of the Year program. So we're coming into our fourth year of Raleigh's Tree of the Year. So some of our partners on our Parks, Recreation, and Greenway Advisory Board wanted to find a way to sort of get some attention on some trees and create sort of a fun contest for Raleigh citizens to talk about trees and learn about trees. And so we've just hit our fourth year. We're starting our fourth year right now. The voting opened last Wednesday, the 2nd, and it's open through the 14th. Or excuse me, the 16th. And so all you have to do is take a picture of your favorite tree. You can go to RaleighNC.gov and type in Tree of the Year, and it'll guide you through what you need to do there.
Phil.
Do you have to be in the city of Raleigh to do that, or is it just Wake County?
We hope the tree is in Raleigh so that people can come by and visit. So the rules are basically we don't want any invasive species, but as long as you can see it from the street, that's good, because you know we don't want people coming in your backyard if you don't want them to. So it could be.
You want to make sure. You want to make sure that it is identifiable, though. If you're taking it from the car or something, a little bit of a distance, you want to make sure that the leaves. It's obvious what the tree is.
Sure. We don't ask people to know exactly what their tree is. Some folks do, some don't.
Goodness.
But
if
it's pretty or not pretty, right?
Okay.
We're happy to look
that
at that.
That makes it
for
even
you.
Easier.
Yeah, sure. So the goal, it doesn't have to be the biggest tree or the most beautiful tree. It could just be a tree that means something to you. We've seen some that aren't so pretty that people have an attachment to get
so
nominated.
You want
right?
the provenance surrounding the tree.
Well, just.
How about that word?
Provenance. All right, give us a definition.
Well, provenance. What is? It's like an antiques. What is the history of the antique. That's the provenance.
Yeah.
And a tree would have the same thing. Like in my place, I have several trees over 100 years old. And Dr. Lawrence was Raleigh's first orthodontist. And it is said that Elizabeth Lawrence, a name that you, Elizabeth Lawrence, the great gardener, visited my place out there, Mrs. Lawrence. And so there's a lot of history around that place.
There should be a plaque out there.
Well, it is. There's a plaque. It's on the National Register of Historic Places.
I know that, but I mean, if she visited. Wow.
Yeah.
Man. So first thing that comes to mind in my yard is a Harry Lauder walking stick that that's been in my yard since the late 90s. And it is something to behold. It is so odd looking.
Now, though, right?
Yeah.
So you can't see old Harry's crooked.
I don't know. No, you can still see all of
well,
that.
Well, I often wondered, they named it Harry Lauder's walking stick. How in the world did you get a walking stick out of that?
Well, Kirby, I don't know, but he was a British comedian. Harry Lauder was a British comedian during World War II, and that was part of his trademark. He carried a contorted filbert walking stick.
Right.
So,
are you familiar with the Harry Lauder's walking stick?
I am. Yes. Yeah. I know it's not one we see fairly regularly, but it's a good specimen. And I guess maybe if you're crooked, you need a crooked walking stick. I don't know.
Well, now you're talking about my former profession.
I'm not. I thought he's definitely saying not saying anything.
If you're a crooked politician, you need a Harry Lauder's walking stick.
I meant more crooked in physicality, not crooked in mentality.
Oh, Lord.
All right. You have had, what are some of the past winters? Because I heard you mention there was one from the Arboretum, for instance.
Sure. Somebody so the first year one, we had a ginkgo biloba on NC State's campus. The students call it the tree. It's some beautiful fall color, and it's known as the living fossil.
The leaves sort of drop at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Turns a beautiful yellow-orange fan-shaped. The winter, our second year, was a red lace Japanese maple there in the parking lot at the Ralston Arboretum.
Oh, that's a magnificent thing. Rufus, how long has that thing been there? Do you know?
Oh, yeah. It's been there about since the beginning of the Arboretum.
Yeah.
It's such a beautiful specimen.
Yep. And then so last year we had our first park tree. So there's a native flowering dogwood in the Windermere Beaver Dam Park, beautiful blooming dogwood that the neighborhood calls Caroline. So we've had two out-of-towners and one in-towner.
Pink or white?
It's white.
Yeah. Yep. That's what we say. Well, you know, there are all kinds of dogwoods. That brings to mind, people love dogwood so much, and they're just not as happy here as they used to be. And but they look magnificent this year.
They do. Yeah.
The ones that are with us around.
Well, there was a spell there when something came through and wiped out some of them. I don't imagine you think much of red tips. I've got some surviving red tips, about three. I had to take down about 12 one time. Mm-hmm. It's funny how people go with things that come along. You get real hopped up on a certain thing, and I put out about 15 red tips maybe 40 years ago, and I had to have 10 of them taken down.
Yeah.
I always think the most important thing is how you feel about it, not necessarily how I feel about
it. That's right,
because
we develop an attachment. Some of us develop an attachment to our plants, mm-hmm. to our trees.
Yes.
I mean, they bring us something, we've all talked about on this show, pass along plants and plants that were planted in memory of someone or a friend planted it for you,
right.
That type of thing, yeah.
Yes, so, it's the connection that's a big key, right?
Yeah.
So some people like fruit, some don't, so it just depends what you like.
How do we enter?
So you go to RaleighNC.gov, and then you can just search Tree of the Year, and it'll bring up the contest page. You'll get to see some past winners. It'll give you a link. So what you'll do is it'll give you instructions on how to upload a photo. You can put in some information on, you know, why you like the tree or why you don't, what you think it is. And then so that runs from, started April 2nd, it'll run through April 16th, and then we'll do voting the following week. So all those entries will come in. You can go back to the page and then vote for all these nominees. And so whichever one has the most votes on April 23rd will be our fourth annual Raleigh Tree of the Year.
So who gets to vote?
Anybody can vote. So you don't have to be in Wake County. So once the nominations closes, you'll have those trees in there. You can come back in, go to that same website, and you can vote once for whichever tree is your favorite.
Right.
You
Great.
Can vote for your own.
Wow.
You don't get in trouble for that. You can vote for somebody else.
Now, you
else's.
Said something that might prohibit me, as Mike and Aunt Phil know. I have a gate up, and pretty hard to see from Lake Wheeler. The tree.
Because of all his groupies. Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, you got to keep them out.
I had to have a gate back when I was attorney general because I was threatened a lot.
Yeah.
And, but if it were to come that somebody liked my tree, I would open the gate occasionally.
You going to charge for that?
Only $1.30.
All right. Well, that's very easy. Go to RaleighNC.gov and go to Tree of the Year. And most of us are pretty savvy at at getting to different places on the web. I think you can. You have no problem with that, Rufus.
Well, I'd get Cheryl to do it.
Cheryl, Cheryl does everything.
Yeah.
All right. Are you going to stay with us, or are you busy today?
I can hang out for a little while.
Well, stay as long as you want to stay. You're welcome because we'll get your input. We'll talk about some trees. I don't know if you've had to walk around. Had a chance to walk around here. We got the new Logan's up there, too.
Yep, I haven't been to really the new something. Spot of Logan's yet, but I'm looking forward to checking that out.
But here at the State Farmers Market, there's some magnificent plants, and there are trees here. What mistakes do we make in planting trees, especially when we're looking at some of the big hardwood trees that we want to stand for forever? What mistakes are we making?
Well, so the goal here is to plant the right tree in the right place, right?
Yeah.
So I like to use the analogy, a seedling tree is like a Great Dane puppy in a studio apartment, right? At first, everything is great, but before you know it, you got a monster on your hands.
That's right.
So we always say look up, look around, look for, you don't want to put something big too close to your house. You don't want to put anything under power lines. So try to make sure, have the foresight to think that tree will probably be around after you're gone and want to make sure you get enough room.
I can't tell you how many people said to me, foundation plantings, put them out. About 15 years, they've almost knocked the house down. And a lot of these builders put in something just to make it look good all of a sudden.
Yeah.
And it turns out to be a monster later on. Bad for your roof, bad for everything.
Right. And constantly cut it back and everything. It's just, you have to be able to let a tree grow the way it wants to grow, I think.
Yeah.
For it to
Shrubs
look good.
Too.
Yeah, yep. For it to look nice. I mean, it's bred to do that. So make good choices.
Just think about when you were a kid, you didn't like going to the barbershop, did you, Rufus?
No.
Or did your mama cut your hair?
Well, I had a bowl put on my head for a little while.
Oh, I wish I had a picture of that. That would have been a good campaign poster.
Yeah.
All right, we'll have more from the State Farmers Market here on WPTF. You're listening to The Weekend Gardener. We're talking, friends and listeners, about cataracts off the air here.
Well, my nephew said Uncle Rufus is going to have a Cadillac operation.
Oh, my gosh. It's just too much. Well, I'm sure everything will go fine, Rufus.
Yeah, cataract surgery was the best thing I did. I mean,
they do so many of them now.
I see so clearly because I can even, like, when
they
I
wrote
walk
a song
in the
about
plants,
that.
I can see clearly now.
But I can. I mean, I can see if there's insects or things like that on the plants that I couldn't see before. I mean, it's just like, wow. And then the colors, My peripheral vision got 10 times better.
Okay, somebody's sneaking up on
you. Yeah, nobody can sneak up on me now.
That's good. All right, well.
But, it's been nice because the colors of the flowers and yeah. trees coming out now and that sort of thing. I just love it when the trees are like they are now. You can see the difference in the greens, like the pines and the
oh,
oaks.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Melissa and I were riding
I
around
love
this
it.
Weekend.
And out and that's, towards Pittsburgh, yeah.
It was one of my favorite beautiful. Things to do is to get out and ride. But this time of year, Zachary, all the trees are showing their personalities, aren't they?
Exactly. I
yeah,
love
it's a,
it.
It's a great time. So you're getting a lot of those blooms out on some of those early blooming trees. The leaves coming out, I agree. So every shade of green you can imagine is coming out now. So
it's all about just like plants in general, the textures and the colors that you don't even have to have. I mean, you have those and you don't even have to have blooms that you can really see. It's just... I love the colors of greens.
Yeah. Yeah, amazing. Differences in the shapes of the leaves and the sizes.
Exactly.
And, you know, it's less fun when you're raking them in the fall. It's better to see them when they pop out in the spring.
A lot of people complaining about the pollen. The pine pollen is what we see. And I'm told, I was reading that even the bees don't like pine pollen very much. So, but that's the culprit. But everything's putting out... pollen. What's the worst for, I don't know, you're not a physician, but you know your pollen, I'm sure.
No, so I think it kind of depends on a specific allergy, but a lot of the oaks and smaller things can cause from a tree perspective.
Right.
What I was always told is, and I don't want to get anything too wrong here, is that the pine pollen is so big, that's why we can see it so much, that it causes some problems, but it's less about allergies and more about just sort of being
aesthetics.
More of a dust. Yeah, yeah.
About messing up your car.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And my shirt.
Right? Yeah, everything. If you're... yeah. If you're sitting still, last weekend it got all over us. But today is much better. Do you have a favorite tree? It's kind of hard to ask an urban forester. Yeah.
Sure. So general type of tree, I love a live oak, right? We've got a few of them around here, but sort of those big sweeping limbs that we find down near Wilmington around our coast is my favorite. But I sort of like a variety, a little bit of everything. Raleigh's an amazing place that gets enough rain and the weather makes it so we can have quite a bit of variety of species. My favorite tree in Raleigh is there's a really big swamp white oak at Roberts Park, and it's the perfect epitome of a city tree. There's a tennis court on one side. There's a playground there. There's a restroom. So it's like a tree that got big and was able to be a tree in a place that lets people enjoy it that wouldn't have technically be able to see it in the woods. So.
Right, and gives shade to some of those areas, too. Well, where's Roberts Park? I'm trying to think what part of Raleigh.
Sure, so it's just a little bit east of downtown, sort of just off Tarboro Road.
Okay.
Yep.
How about that? Some beautiful
Tarboro.
Parks. Do you go to the park? Do you oversee any of the parks?
Yeah, so our Urban Forestry Division oversees, so basically everything on city-owned control property. So think about street trees, park trees, greenway trees, the whole gambit. So,
yeah, they're so vital and a big part of Raleigh. There are a lot of parks in Raleigh.
Over 200.
Melissa and I,
wow.
Our first house was on Banbury Road and it was across from whatever that's called, the park. There, the little long park, and that was nice to live there.
Well, let me ask you about in my place, and I told you that it was built in 1921 by Dr. Lawrence, Elmo Lawrence, and for some reason, they decided to plant two Stewart pecan trees in the front and in the back, and you'd think that they would they have a lot of limbs come down, but they have survived. Hurricanes, tornadoes, but was that some sort of a thing that people liked to do back in the 20s? Plant pecan trees right in their yard?
Well, I think it was that combo, right? When times are tougher, if you got something that's making something for you to eat or enjoy in the front yard, it's sort of the extension of the farm, right? So a lot of those crops you sort of cut down and replant every year. A pecan, you got to fight the squirrels for them, but you... It'll feed you for a long time.
Well, and the worms.
Yeah.
Mine have, when I first moved out there, I was, one of the guys was driving me home from a meeting, and I hadn't realized what the pecan trees do, and all of a sudden I was asleep, and they went pop, pop, pop. I thought I was being shot at. Well, it was the pecans on the driveway, about 6 inches deep, and they produced until about 7 years ago buckets and barrels, and I had one. I tell everybody one pecans to come bring a sack, and I found this one old gal. She kept coming back and back and back, and I'm darned if she wasn't bringing them over here and selling them. I said, well, what do you want me to do?
She was.
For you?
And you could have been selling them in a little roadside stand.
Yeah. Yeah.
That would have been great.
With your hot dogs.
Yeah, with your hot dogs.
The worms, they crawl on the ground. They climb up the tree, and they haven't produced now about 5 years. And I figure this way. If I want enough pecans to eat, I'll come over here and get them, rather than going through all that spraying every year.
Yeah. And the shelling is a little can be tough as well. So if you get somebody to pull them out of there for you.
I had a handy-dandy little thing that would shell them real easily. And the Stewart pecan's got that wonderful shell on it that's easy.
Yeah. How about that?
I'd like to have a pecan right now, wouldn't you?
Wouldn't that be good?
Yeah. What about a pecan pie?
Pecan divinity from Stockings.
I've given up sweets for Lynn.
From the OK&W, pecan pie.
Oh, yeah.
All right. We need to take a break and catch up on the news here at WPTF. We're at the State Farmers Market in Raleigh with the WPTF Weekend Gardener. Back on WPTF, the Weekend Gardener, Mike Rayleigh here, along with Rufus Edmondson and Phil Campbell at Campbell Road Nursery. And Zachary Manor is with us, the urban forester. He's not a whole forest, he's the forester of Raleigh. And, you know, when the weather warms up, I can't resist the urge to, you know, get my hands in the soil. I'm sure you're the same way, right? Or you like to hire somebody to do it. Okay, well, there's something deeply satisfying about stepping outside and breathing in the fresh air and, you know, and the pollen and tending to the garden, you know, because it's kind of bursting to life. It really is this weekend with all the trees leafing out and everything. Watching those first tender green shoots push through the earth is a moment of joy. But as any gardener knows, the joy can quickly turn to frustration when those hungry deer and rabbits show up, all right, ready to feast on your hard work. Don't let them ruin your garden. Protect your plants with I Must Garden and rabbit repellents. It's a deer repellent, too. Now, natural, eco-friendly solution designed to keep pests away from all of your plants without harming them. And I Must Garden uses carefully selected natural ingredients to create an effective yet gentle formula. It works with nature, not against it, ensuring that your garden stays safe and beautiful while deterring unwanted visitors. What makes I Must Garden stand out? Well, it's more about a repellent. It's a smart way to go, really, to protect your garden. The formulas at I Must Garden are made from botanical oils and other natural ingredients that not only repel deer and rabbits, but also help nourish your plants. Plus, they're rain-resistant and long-lasting, so you can spend less time reapplying and more time enjoying your garden. And, you know, you can find out a lot about I Must Garden online or at your independent garden center like Campbell Road Nursery. They know all about it, and Phil has endorsed it for years. You can find it at Campbell Road Nursery in Homewood, also at Logan's and Westlake Ace Hardware, all of those, along with many other trusted local retailers. People safe, pet safe, and environmentally friendly. I Must Garden, your ultimate defense against garden pests. All right, We're at the State Farmers Market in Raleigh, and Zachary Manor is with us, the urban forester. And there's a big, I want to reiterate what's going on with this contest. Give us the details on, this is the Tree of the Year in Raleigh.
That's right. So it's we're doing our fourth annual Tree of the Year in Raleigh. Voting is open now. It'll run through April 16th. So you just log on to RaleighNC.gov, search Tree of the Year, and it'll give you all the details there. So we'll take nominations for 2 weeks, and then starting April 17th, you'll be able to vote on all those nominations that got in. And so we'll do a week of voting, and then we'll announce the winner at our Earth Day Arbor Day event that the city of Raleigh is holding at Dix Park right next to us here. So be a great event. And
but they're not holding it today.
Nope, not today.
There'll be a lot of rhythm over there.
It's going to be a little busy over there today. That's right.
Yeah, but what is the date for the event?
April 25th.
Okay.
Yeah. So it'll run till 8 o'clock, a great family-friendly event. There'll be a movie at the end, but lots of vendors, educational pieces. The city will have some plants out there, some of our electric equipment, and some of the things we do. So it's a great event for people that love trees, people that love the earth. So it's a great spot for a lot of the listeners to come out and spend some
time. Where at Dix Park?
So it'll be sort of around the Flowers Cottage. So if you come in off of Umstead Drive, there'll be some signage to get you there. Yeah. Things are changing pretty fast out there. We got a lot of stuff going on. So
right.
It's a great spot for it. So it's over near the cemetery at Dix Park, if anybody's familiar. So.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I've noticed as I drive down home on Lake Wheeler, the children's playground, I have never seen as many plants in any one place in my life. It's going to be a forest there. Have you seen that lately?
I have. So we're doing some walkthrough now. They're hoping to open up here pretty soon this spring and summer. But I think I heard there's over 100,000 plants being planted. So that could be anything from a grass to a flower to a tree. But
right.
It's going to be a garden and a playground at the same time.
Well, it looks like they're building a castle there for the kids, right?
It's sort of a water mountain.
You stay off of there, Rufus.
I know. Well, I'm scared of the water, so I don't have to worry about that.
Well, I'm talking about the castle. You just, I'm sure you know, Zachary, and of course, everybody on this panel knows that the mayor of Raleigh is quite a gardener.
And, she sure is.
Yeah, so I'm sure
she's got some of my original plants.
She's all behind this. Yeah. So, That's a really neat thing, Phil. I have some pansies in the yard that look outstanding.
They look great.
Yeah, I mean this is.
I mean even with this heat, they have survived well.
Yeah.
We still have a few landscapers and retail customers coming in just to get a few because, as if you haven't heard, we're probably going to have either a heavy frost. Possibly a freeze on Wednesday morning.
Yeah.
I mean, it was.
Well, they will
the
in Roxborough.
Really
I think
close.
It's supposed to be in the 20s in Roxborough.
Yeah, the line's really close to us. So, I mean, if you've put out anything that's going to be fragile, you better check it out and
if
keep
you got
it covered
tomatoes,
up or
you
bring
better
it
cover
in.
Them.
That's right.
Have you already planted tomatoes,
well,
Rufus?
Yeah, they're in pots, so, but I can make them in.
He can bring them in.
All right. Well,
yeah,
that's
Phil,
good.
Phil brought them to me. Cousin Gladys. Who unfortunately died.
The late departed.
And I wanted in memory of her. And so yeah. Phil, I seeded them and started them scraggly and took them to Phil. And about 2 weeks, they were a foot tall. And even some blooming now.
They've got really big stems. There's two different kinds, so we can't wait to see what they do.
Yeah. It's, but you are a tomato eater?
I am, exactly. But not a grower.
Not a grower.
Eater, not a grower.
Okay. They just are confounding plants sometimes.
Yeah.
As good as they are with the bacon and mayonnaise.
Oh yeah.
Well, that bread you use, though, that still smells.
I like pumpernickel. What's wrong with that? I like
pumpernickel.
I have a little light bread.
You got to have light bread.
Light bread.
We'll be back with more from the State Farmers Market in Raleigh. We're back on WPTF at the State Farmers Market with the Weekend Gardener. Zachary, did I hear you use the word hubris?
I did.
How about that?
Oh, that's part of my speech.
He's an educated man.
Yes, sir.
Bad job.
That's a good old Greek word. Get too big for your britches.
You had too much hubris at one time, didn't you?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's
you gotten rid of that.
It's
though.
A terrible disease that people get. you think nobody sees you. You're acting a fool, and you think nobody sees you. It's like the three stages of.
What are the three stooges?
Yeah. Three stages of too much liquor to drink. You come in the bar and say, drinks on the house for everybody. That's the first stage. Then the second stage is, and the worst stage is you don't think anybody can see you.
Yeah. Sounds like a three-year-old.
Hubris, well, good word.
Hubris, yeah, it's a wonderful word. And I think many of us, not everybody, is guilty of having a little bit of that at some
time. Well, a little dose here and there.
Yeah. Some people overdose.
Some trees that are hubris-ridden.
Yeah, well, they certainly are right now.
Like Leland Cypress.
They're spreading the word with all that pollen right now.
Are any Leland Cypress still in existence anywhere?
Oh, we've got some around, right? A little worse for wear in a lot of cases, but you know, you'll always find that one that's going to disprove what.
Right. I mean, there are right? Red tip Fitinias still around.
Yeah. Like the red tip. I've got about three red tips.
My wife and I were in Slovenia, Croatia, and all over. There were red tip Fitinias. I assume that's what they were. It looked exactly like them there. They looked like they were thriving. They weren't all over the place, but I did recognize it. So we just overplanted them.
Didn't cross the waters then.
I guess not.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, there are. We overdo it in a lot of ways. But
yeah, we were talking about knockout roses a few minutes ago when they first came out. I mean, everybody, every McDonald's, every road. I mean, there was just swaths of them on the road up at Greensboro. I remember seeing where the state had planted
them
in it. And it was just, I mean, they were gorgeous. But then, I mean, it's too many. And then they all got disease, or a lot of them did.
Are there anything we are overplanting tree-wise now, Zachary? Or?
That's one of the things we always try to work on is telling the stories about the elm trees and the ash trees, right? So if you get something that works, just, you know, the more different kind of species you can have, the better served you are, because that helps you adjust sort of those pieces. So that's one of the things we try to do. Sometimes you're a victim of your own success, right? If something does well, especially, so we do a lot of street trees. It's a tough spot for a tree in a lot of places. So there's only if, you know, it really limits the number and types of trees that you can use in, say, a downtown kind of scenario. So we're always looking for the opportunity to try something a little different, as long as it'll work, so we don't end up in those situations. So I wouldn't say anything specifically, but as far as overplanting goes, but just trying to do variety at home and variety in the right of way is sort of the goal.
Yeah. There are all kinds of projects around town. You were mentioning a park, or maybe Rufus was, a park on Lake Wheeler Road. Is it Lake Wheeler Road that you're talking
about? Yeah, right back behind me.
Yeah. What are some things that y'all are working to improve in Raleigh? Maybe something new or old that you're revitalizing?
Sure. From a tree standpoint, it's kind of both, right? So much like we like different species, we like trees of different ages, right? So a healthy forest has young trees, medium-aged trees, old trees, so that when those old trees or we get a weather event falls away, you got something else to sort of come into that, take that place in the canopy. And so Raleigh's lucky to have old parks, young parks, old streets, new streets. We really try to do that balance. So we're really looking to try to get the next generation in there for a lot of these places. Raleigh has a lot of big willow oaks around about the same age, right? So it was one of those popular plants at the time they were all planted, probably 7,500 years ago, give or take. And so looking for opportunities for that next generation to sort of take over that space. One of the things we do as well is sort of, as things get hotter, we look for those opportunities, places that don't have trees, so we can add that sort of living infrastructure. So it's something you can get in there and it'll help us with stormwater, it'll help us with heat, it'll help us sort of beautify. So it's a combination. We think of trees as not only beautiful, but as sort of valuable infrastructure. They do work for us as well. And so trying to get those in the right spots to help us.
Including the root system.
Yep, absolutely.
It's a stabilizing factor for areas. Yep. But then we need shade, of
wildlife,
course.
Birds, the works,
right?
Yeah. It's
and trees that
jobs.
Are not messy.
I mean, most of them drop leaves, but there are some that are messier than others.
Yep.
And so you don't...
Like a magnolia. Speaking of willows, I used to have a big weeping willow, and somebody told me, said, you better get that away, it'll run up your drains and clog it up. You heard anything like that?
Well, we work with a lot of our folks in public utilities, Raleigh Water, and they tree roots like they like food and they like water. And I always said a tree won't make a hole in a pipe, and they would always say, well, it'll make it bigger. And that's right.
So river birch is another one that
so if you think about trees that grow naturally around water, they're going to have more of those roots. They're a little more equipped, so they'll be looking for something to drink a little more. So river birch is a good example. Willows as well, that sort of occur in naturally wet areas, sort of seek out that water. But, you know, it just depends on how good your pipe and your drain is, I guess.
Oh, okay.
Well, yeah, it certainly makes sense. There are... Rufus, what is your favorite tree?
Crape myrtle.
You like the crepe myrtle beds.
Absolutely. Because all seasons, when the leaves have dropped, what a beautiful bark figuration.
Speaking of which, are we still having problems with the bark? Is it an aphid?
Yeah, it's crepe myrtle bark scale.
Yeah. Scale. Yep. Scale, mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we're sort of managing that as we go. It hasn't been here all that long, right? So trying to see what those longer-term effects are for us here in Raleigh. It makes things... a little less aesthetically pleasing and sometimes a little drippy. So it just kind of depends where you are and what you're going. So we haven't seen it cause a significant amount of death, but it does make things sort of challenging in certain situations.
A lot of nurseries are not bringing them in anymore right now. We did not bring any in last year.
That's almost...
You just kind of...
Unheard of.
Again. Too many crepe myrtles.
Yeah.
So you have to just kind of ease off and let it kind of settle down, and then we can start.
Well, they'll be bark scale resistant crepe myrtles at some point, I guess.
Right.
But we've sort of seen too those that are having some issues, whether they're not getting enough water, not enough space, makes them a little more susceptible. Because we see lots of ones that are doing in the right spot, not having any issues at all. So sort of the better we can do to put them keep them in good shape and put them in the right spot, the better they are able to defend themselves.
I've got a Muskogee crepe myrtle that is, I don't know, it's 30 years old. It's as big as a maple tree.
Mm-hmm.
That's a huge tree. And it got, it must have had a little bit of this on it because some of the limbs got dark black last summer or summer before last maybe. But I haven't seen any sign of that. I'm looking for that this year. But even the older trees, maybe they're more susceptible. I don't know.
Just kind of depends, right? So it's on the location. It's on the sort of how healthy the tree is. There's a lot of factor, just like us, right?
Yeah.
I may catch a cold sitting right beside you, but nobody else may. So it just kind of depends.
Maybe a tree with too much hubris, Rufus, will get it.
Well, my 100-year-old crepe myrtles have never had any sign of scale or anything, and maybe that kind just doesn't get it.
Oh, I wonder if some of the newer varieties are more susceptible, or if the old ones are not. I don't know. That's interesting, because there were some developed at the Arboretum in Washington that have the Indian names, I think, Native American names, maybe.
Yeah, I used to visit Cherokee. That one.
I wonder if they're more susceptible than...
They have a whole section up at the National Arboretum.
Yeah.
I used to visit there when I worked in the Senate and loved it.
Yeah.
That's where I fell in love with crepe myrtle.
Extraordinary plants.
Now, they won't do well up in the mountains. I've tried it before. I can't find it.
Pam Beck has... What's the name of the one?
She calls it a Yankee crepe myrtle.
Yankee crepe myrtle.
It doesn't have much of a bloom on it. It's got the same kind of structure. Huh. You heard of that Yankee crepe myrtle?
Nope, that one doesn't ring a bell, but there's a lot of them, so I'm not surprised.
we'll figure
Michael,
it out.
Michael, you're a car man. What is that beautiful pickup?
That's it's a Chevrolet, as Richard Petty would say, or GMC.
Yeah, GMC, I think. Yeah. I don't know.
That's
it's
a
hard
beauty.
To tell.
That's a beauty.
It is, isn't it?
It has the front end of General Motors, so it's, I think it says GMC on the side.
I think it does.
I don't know how old a division the GMC is. It must be pretty old.
Well, it's like about a 49 or something, 47.
Yeah. My grandfather had one, but it was blue. It was a Chevrolet.
Carlton's granddad had a dark green one. Yeah.
That's beautiful.
It is.
Wow. Well, I'm glad the gentleman found some reason to get out and drive it around today. It's pretty nice state red. Where did you go to school?
NC State.
Well, you like that red
truck,
don't you?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, how about that?
All right.
So did you go to the forestry school?
Yes.
Or?
Yep. Okay. Oh, okay. Yep. Miles away from the forestry school.
Yeah, up on Western Boulevard.
Did you ever know J.C. Ralston?
Only met him in passing.
Right.
Yeah, how about that?
All right. I'm surrounded by NC State people all the time on this program. I'm Carolina.
Okay.
They're nice enough.
It worked out for you.
They're nice enough. We'll be back from the State Farmers Market in Raleigh with the Weekend Garden.